I want to preach to you a sermon today that is for just our church. It doesn't mean that it's not going out on the internet and somebody else listens to it. That's fine. Don't give a flip. But I want to help our church today. Let me start by saying this. God has blessed Grace Baptist Church. This is one of the most amazing churches I've ever been a part of. I've been preaching for 42 years. I've been in the full-time Christian service for almost 33 years. I've preached in 34 states. I've preached in hundreds of churches. I've been all over this country. And may I say, there is not another church quite like this church. Y'all are nuts. And the spirit at this church is unbelievable. And may I say something? I realize that 9 and a half, almost 10 years, it'll be 10 years this September, God used my wife and I to start Grace Baptist Church. We're not a big city church, but the spirit at Grace Baptist Church is better than most big churches. This is truly a spiritual hospital for hurting people. And by the way, we let God be the great physician, not me, because I'd probably kill everybody and go to heaven. Man, in all of his religion and tradition, thinks that he has a newer and better way. May I say something? You can't improve on God. You can't. Today, man wants to add God in the Bible to the way he thinks, instead of doing it the way thus saith the Lord. I happen to believe that the God who created the universe, the God who created man, the very God who gives us life in our breath, has a better way than we do.
That's right.
I'm going to make a statement here that if I'm successful, some folks around the country will get mad at. The Bible is not just a book for a divine message. It also includes divine methods. God didn't just say, here is the message. He said, here's the message, and here's the method by which you are to do this. You have to understand that's very, very important. Now, I need your attention. I need you to listen very carefully here. Jesus started the church. Matthew chapter 16. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wasn't talking to the apostle Peter of starting the church. The word Peter, you say, well, the word Peter means stone. It means a pebble. And Jesus said, upon this rock, Jesus is the cornerstone.
Amen.
See, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And by the way, according to the Bible, the church is what he gave his blood for, as well as our salvation.
That's right.
He paid for the church with his blood. Now listen to this statement. The whole sermon hinges on this. I think since he paid for it with his blood, since he started the church, I think he has a better idea how to run it than man does. You're not supposed to choose the church of your choice. How about we choose the church of his choice?
Amen.
Instead of running it the way man wants it run and doing it man's way, how about we do it the way God said?
That's right.
Now, hang on for a second. The closer to the original you get, the purer the source. I'm not really interested in what people want in a church. I'm interested in what God wants.
Amen.
Now, I would like you to enjoy Grace Baptist Church. I've watched you smile. I've heard you sing today. Most of you sounded pretty good. As a group, we sounded pretty good. That's because you couldn't hear me. No comments, please. But may I say something? At Grace Baptist Church, we're not going out and taking a poll to find out what people want and trying to make our church match what the community wants. How about we take a poll of what God wants and do it the way he said, and let's have the community change to be what God wants.
Amen.
I'm a little tired of us doing this backwards. I have an idea that God, when he started and paid for the church with his own blood, had a much better idea in mind than what man can come up with. My goal is to lead Grace Baptist Church to follow God's way and not man's way. By the way, to those of you that are new or you're visiting today, you walked in and said, wow, this church is a little different.
Amen.
I didn't feel like I walked into Brown's funeral home. I didn't feel like I sat in somebody else's seat and I'm going to get cussed out for it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I've been in churches like that. Good night. I was preaching. I won't tell you what state I was in, but I was preaching one time and I came in, sat down on second or third row. And the pastor said, I'll call you up in the middle of the service to come sit on the platform and preach that. But till then, sit out there. I was sitting there. I was by myself. I had flown there. My wife wasn't with me. And about 10, 15 minutes before church started, I was greeting some folks and I had sat down. And this older lady walked up. She said, what are you doing sitting there? I said, well, the pastor said I was supposed to sit here. She said, that's my seat. Find somewhere else. Okay. So I moved and found another seat. I got up to preach. I thought she'd be a little embarrassed. I got done preaching. I was at the back shaking hands. I was going to preach again that evening. She came through the door. I reached for her hand. She said, don't sit in my seat tonight. Now, I'm glad we don't have a church like that. Good night. If you need a chair to sit in, there's one right there. You can sit there. It doesn't bother me. I'll give my chair up any day, stand through the whole church service. Doesn't bother me a bit. And by the way, I think you'll find that true at this church.
Amen.
Most of you had your hand shaken more times walking through the door from the parking lot to where you're at right now than you have in the last 2 years anywhere. Now, the book of Acts is all about the growth of the church and the spreading of churches. By the way, they're Baptist churches.
Amen.
Say, how do you know that? John the Baptist baptized Jesus. I'll get into that in a little while here. But you say, well, that means the baptizer. That's you using a different Bible. God knew how to write the words he meant. It was John the Baptist, not baptizer.
That's right.
Just so you know. And Baptist wasn't his last name. It was over 300 years before there ever was a Catholic church. Catholic church didn't come about till 330 A.D.
Right.
Constantine started the Catholic church as a way to integrate church and state so that he had power over people religiously as well as politically.
That's
right. Go do your history homework. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
All right. This was the taking off point of what we know as the local church. The church did not start in Acts chapter 2. Jesus started it in Matthew 16. It started seeing mega growth in Acts chapter 2 about 50 days after the resurrection. Acts chapter 2 takes place at a time called Pentecost. That's 50 days after Calvary. Now watch this. Jesus spent 40 of those days after 3 days and three nights in the grave. This is only about 2 weeks after Jesus went back at the resurrection. This is a time of explosion of growth and taking the gospel all the way around the world, because Pentecost, everybody came in. People from all languages and countries of the area came in. They got saved. They went back to their home countries, and the gospel started going around the world and churches being started because of them hearing the truth. We read here in Acts chapter 2 that in one day, 3,000 were saved and baptized in one day. You say, well, that's never happened. Don't tell Brother Hiles that. We had 5 days that big. I remember one Sunday we baptized 5,592 people in one day.
Amen.
Now, Brother Mike, I can tell you that a, one man can only baptize about 300 people and he's done for the day. Trust me, I baptized 290 people that one day, and I felt it for 4 days. You can't imagine how many people it takes to do that with. And how we had, I think, 60-some baptistries set up. We had people baptized in pools. We had cattle troughs. We had them everywhere. We had people getting baptized everywhere. We had people saved everywhere. Now, hang on for a second here. God shows us not only how to grow numerically, but how to grow the people of the church. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I want us to look at this more closely. I'm interested in our church growing numerically, not for number's sake, but each number represents a real person who has real needs and needs help. Amen. You see, how about we look at God's word and not man's tradition about what God wants in a church? Amen. How about we take the book, the only book that God ever wrote, the King James Bible for the English speaking people, and do what it says versus what the world says we're supposed to have.
That's right.
Yes, I want our church to grow numerically because each person we reach is important to God.
Amen. That's right.
Every child is important to God. Thank God for a bus.
Amen.
Going out and picking up folks at don't come to church on their own. I wonder how many people have been saved and eternity has been changed. And how many churches have been started by poor little kids that didn't have a mom or dad that came to church with them when they were little, came in on a bus, they got saved. God used them to change their family. Now listen to me very carefully here. I also want each person that we reach to grow in the Lord. I don't want a selfish Christianity where it's all about me and just all about you. We should want to grow so we can be used of God to go out and reach more people and help them grow in the Lord. Let's take a look at God's plan to grow his church. First of all, I want you to understand something. First thing you need to understand about church is this: God wants you to be saved. You need to know for sure that if you died, you go to heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to make a statement here. You have to be saved to be a Christian.
Yes, sir.
You are not a Christian because you belong to an organized religion called Christian.
Amen.
Just like you can be called a Republican and not hold to true conservative values. Just like Joe Manchin is not a conservative.
Amen.
Comparing him to Satan, he might be. But old finger-licking Joe isn't conservative.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean finger-licking? Say, well, he's held true on a couple things, preacher. Yes, because the people in southern West Virginia said, we know where you live, Joe, and if you vote this way, we're going to kill you and your family. Don't come home. Y'all don't think that's true? Go to that part of the state. You'll find out. I know what I'm talking about. Them old mountain people, they don't care. And they got enough hollers. You can holler all you want and you ain't going to be heard. Mm-hmm. That's where Bobby's from. I mean, anyway. Don't ask him, all right? Don't ask, don't tell. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Just because you belong to an organized group called Christians doesn't make you a Christian. Just like if you were born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. You say, preacher, that's kind of ridiculous. Okay, I wonder how many people are supposed to be smart that they don't know 2 + 2 = 4 and they teach at a college. You can have all the college degrees you want, but that doesn't make you smart. You become a Christian by getting saved, by being born again, by becoming a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John chapter 1, verse number 12 says, but as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He didn't say those who join a church or an organization. He didn't say those who get baptized. He didn't say those who live a good life and their good outweighs their bad, because we are all sinners and we all deserve to die and go to hell.
Amen.
No matter how good you are, your good is tainted by sin.
That's right.
God said our righteousness is as filthy rags. But as many as received him. By the way, you don't receive him by something you do other than you submit your unrighteousness to his righteousness.
Amen.
You get to the point where you realize you're a sinner on your way to hell, deserving of hell. You can't get there on your own and say, Lord, I need what you did for me to take me to heaven. And the moment you do that, you're saved and on your way to heaven.
Amen.
That's what John chapter 3 is all about with Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Now, Nicodemus was a politician. He was a ruler. He was a pretty intelligent fellow. He said, Jesus, what do you mean born again? You mean I got to go back into my mama, into her stomach, and be born again when I'm old? It ain't going to happen. Number one, you ain't putting me there. Number two, she ain't going to let you put me there. Or as my daddy would say, son, I brought you into this world, I could take you out. Wait a minute. Nicodemus was a little confused. You have to understand something. The word church had never been used till Matthew chapter 16. It was a new thing. Just like you didn't know what COVID was 2.5 years ago. It was a new thing. And Jesus said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. In other words, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. As a lost person, as a sinner, our spirit is dead. When man sinned, his body did not die immediately. His soul did not die immediately. That's what allows him to communicate with each other. But his spirit died and it was in need of a Savior. And if you go back to John chapter 3, it says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. And the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in and you are saved eternally. You are regenerated, regeneticized, regened by the Holy Spirit of God with eternal genetics. Turn to Romans chapter 8, just a few pages over to the right there. Acts, Romans chapter 8. Oh, my soul, I got to hurry. My wife's going to get mad at me. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 11. I'm not going to be able to preach, but I'm going to read it like I'm preaching. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Notice one's capital, one small. That we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. May I say something? The moment you get saved, you become a child of God.
Amen.
You become the sons of God. Can I tell you something? On May 23rd, 1967, at the hospital there in Canton Hospital. I can't remember the name of it all of a sudden, but it's there. I remember it. I was there, but I don't remember that day. I was born into the Bush family, Mel and Sue Bush. Now, wait a minute. Do you think my entire life I've made my mom and dad happy with me? No. If that's the case, I could show you spots on my backside that my dad wore out. I say, why? Because I didn't always make him happy. No, you're not going to see them. They're calloused, trust me. But may I say something? I didn't always make them happy, but I couldn't ever not be their child. I was born into their family. And no matter what, I'm their child. They're stuck with me. You didn't get to choose. They shouldn't be able to choose these days either. Isn't it amazing? They say that abortion saves lives. How about the body and the life of the baby they murder? They want the right to control their body, but those are the same people protesting say you have to take a vaccination. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. I remember in 1971, 1972, I believe it was New Year's Day, 1972. I remember a one-legged man, Brother Mike, preaching in a primary church. His name was Mr. Humphreys. He was a Vietnam vet and got his leg blown off in Vietnam. And he literally had, Brother Wright, a peg leg, just a wooden peg like pirate. He got up and preached to a bunch of little kids about a place called hell, Brother James. He scared the bejeebers out of this boy. Let me tell you, Brother Larry, that man got done. I walked over to my Sunday school teacher and I tugged on her dress. And I said, I don't want to die and go to a place like that. She took me to the front and we knelt down at a little first grader sized chair. She opened her Bible and showed me that Jesus loved me. That he paid the sin debt for me and all I had to do is trust Jesus as my Savior. Brother Aaron, as a 4.5-year-old boy, I bowed my head and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was born into the family of God. And Brother John, I was just as saved as Jesus was. Amen. By the way, 50.5 years later, I'm still saved.
Amen.
Still on my way to heaven. I'm just as saved today as I was that day. Can I tell you something? That sure does give me a lot of assurance. It's not a religious act getting saved. It's not religious works that get you to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to our life and our account that we get saved.
Amen.
See, you don't get saved by what you do. You get saved by what he did. Last Sunday, Chris's brother, Andy, came. I've been working on him. Last Sunday, I preached hard. I looked down at the invitation and he had raised his hand saying he needed to get saved. Had everybody stand up. He looked at me with fear and tears running down his face. I just looked at him and nodded and he started looking for a way out. I met him right down here and that tough old rugged redneck put his arms around this preacher. Brother Mike trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? The old circuit riding preacher used to say, hold my mule while I shout. That's enough to make anybody get excited.
Amen.
It wasn't because he was a good man. You say, well, what's his sin? None of your business. No worse than yours.
Amen.
It wasn't because he's done a whole bunch of spiritual things. He just put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Boy, is that exciting. So you must be saved to be a Christian. May I say something? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, this is a place to come do it.
Amen.
You're not going to be weird. Some of you are weird no matter what. But it doesn't make you weird. I'm not talking about that. This is a place to do it where people are going to be excited that you did it, not look down their pharisaical stoop because you did it. They're not going to say, well, I wonder what kind of person they really are. Yeah, right. After salvation, God says we should be baptized. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2 again. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, those are people that were saved. Amen. Notice the very next statement, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, I do not have time to take you through an intense Bible study here. But I will tell you this, the first act of obedience after getting saved is being baptized. This is not a baptistry. The word baptize means to bury. You can't get poured on and get baptized. You can't get sprinkled or spit on and get baptized. Amen. That's why we got a tank of water there. You say, why? It pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When they take you to the graveyard, they're not going to pour dirt on your head or sprinkle dirt in your face and call you buried. They're going to dig a hole and stick you on it and put you way under. You say, why? So nobody has to smell you. Y'all think I'm kidding? You don't get buried with a sprinkling of dirt or a pouring of dirt. You got to be totally covered. That's what baptism is. And I will tell you this. Anytime you see the word baptism, it always follows salvation. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you've been saved. I use this illustration a lot. I'm married. I can't get my ring off my finger today. It's coming. There it is. Didn't shoot the ceiling with it. Now, wait a minute. I didn't put a ring on and say, I'm married. I can take the ring off and still be married. It's in my nose. No. She's in the nursery and didn't hear that. Don't tell her. Ashley. Baptism. Wouldn't be the first. Baptism has nothing to do with going to heaven. Matter of fact, when Jesus was on the cross, there were two thieves with him. One denied Jesus. The other said, Lord, would you remember me this when we die? He said, if you'll trust me, I'll take you there. He said, I'll do it. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't get down and get baptized.
That's right.
You can go to heaven without being baptized.
That's right.
It's an act of obedience. It is the first thing and first command that Jesus gave. Now, make a statement here. I can prove that it doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Jesus did it.
That's right.
Jesus didn't need to get saved. But he said, I want you to do it. Say why? It's a picture of trusting Christ, and it's a public profession. It's part of the joining of a church. By the way, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist because Jesus started the church and he needed to follow the rules of the church.
Amen.
He was obedient to what it was. If you have been saved and baptized by immersion, you should join the church. If you join our church and you've been saved and baptized by immersion, okay, when I started the church, we had a charter Sunday and many of us joined that day. I didn't get rebaptized. I'd already been baptized. I transferred my membership from another church, but there were people who had not yet been baptized that we baptized. Say why? Because that's how you join the church. Jesus joined the church to show folks how to do it. Everybody doing okay? That's why John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Now, I've got to hurry because I've got a couple more points here that we got to fly. And if I don't crash land the plane, my wife's going to kill me. Then we're to join the church to become a member of that church. Acts 2:41 again. than they that gladly received his words. That's people who are saved. Could you turn that fan on? I'm about to die. Number two, were baptized. Number three, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In other words, they not only were saved, baptized, they were added to the church membership.
Amen.
Now watch this. Just because you come doesn't make you a member.
Amen.
I think you ought to officially join.
That's right.
You say, why? Because I believe everybody ought to be a part of a church. That's the way Jesus intended it to be. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There were people getting saved every day and being added to the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 18. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is.
Yes,
the word assembling there is the word ecclesia, or the word churching. A called out assembly. That's what a church is. It is a called out assembly from the world of believers who have been baptized for the purpose of of growth in the Lord and the propagation of the gospel to other people. Please don't take this the wrong way. Primary elections are good. You say why? Because you have to declare what you are.
Amen.
You're supposed to declare what you are. Well, God wants you to declare what you are spiritually.
Amen.
That's why we ought to join the church. I'm not mad at anybody. The doors are open. You come anytime you want. You don't have to join this church to come here. But God's plan for you is to get saved, then baptized by immersion, then join the church. And I've got to hurry. I'm going to skip through a few things here. You don't need to go through 16 weeks of classes to join the church.
Amen.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. They joined the church the same day. Say, well, what do I got to do, preacher? If you've never been baptized, we can take care of it. We've got all the clothes, everything you need. It'll be modest. You'll have no trouble. If you've been saved and baptized, you can join the church, come forward at any service, at the invitation, at the end of the service, fill out a card saying, I want to join the church, and we'll vote you in right then.
Amen.
That's all it is. You say, preacher, You mean I don't have to go to classes and I don't have to meet with you? No. Have you been saved? Baptized by immersion? Yep, then you can join.
Amen.
It's that simple. Jesus started it, the church, so we could come away from the world and be what he wanted. Why wouldn't you want to join? Why wouldn't you want to? Number four. This is where it's going to get fun. I got 9 minutes, and I hope I can shove it in. Fourthly, God tells us to continue steadfastly in four things. He says, I want you to continue steadfastly in four things. Now, the word continue means after you've done something, right?
Yep.
So once you've been saved, baptized, and joined the church, God says, I want you to continue in four things. But he didn't say just continue. He said continue steadfastly. The word continue means this. It literally is the word line. It means once it started, it has no end. It's linear in verbiage as well as in definition. In other words, once you start it, don't stop it.
Amen.
The word steadfastly, I'm going to give you a real official definition. The word steadfast means screwed into place. Means locked in place. Like you would put a nut on a bolt and tighten it up real good. That's what it means. It's steadfast. It's not going to move. God says, I want you to continue being locked in place with these four things. Are you ready? Number one. He says, continue, verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Oh, that means you had to go to church to learn the doctrines. He had to read the Word of God to learn the doctrine.
Amen.
I'll promise you one thing. There are many, many, most preachers are better preachers than I. But I'll promise you one thing. You come to this church, I'll give you pure doctrine.
Amen.
I'll give it to you straight from the cow. There was an old preacher. He got saved out of the Catholic Church. He was a new convert. He started preaching. And he was sick one day at the hospital, and the Catholic priest came by. And he said, Doc, he said, I've come to pray for you. He said, no. He said, you're not my Holy Father. He said, I just trusted the Holy Father. He said, where'd you learn that? He said, the Bible. He said, well, you didn't learn that from me. He said, I'm supposed to be the milkman to deliver your milk to you, and you're supposed to only drink that which I bring you. He said, sir, he said, I got my own milk cow now.
Amen.
Folks, you got it all right there. You don't need any more than that. But I do believe this. You ought to come to church, listen to somebody, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, teach the Word of God to you that's given their entire life to the preaching and teaching of God's Word.
Amen.
I can help guide you in it so that as you do study on your own, it'll make more sense and you can draw closer and closer and closer to God.
Amen.
I am not God. You don't have to remind me. I'll remind you for me. I don't even know that I know the Bible the best of anybody in this room, but I promise you this, I put more time in it than anybody in this room.
Amen.
I ought to know it better. I'm still working at it, but I have to continue in the doctrine. That means coming to church. That means reading your Bible. Dr. Lee Robertson used to call it three to thrive. You eat three meals a day to be healthy. You need three services a week to be healthy spiritually. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can hear old Dr. Robertson now. Three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be there. Three to thrive. Here it is. Just matter of fact. I wonder, the more you go to church, isn't it amazing how much more God blesses you?
Amen.
So we're to continue in the apostles' doctrine. You don't need to study the Apostles' Creed. That was come out by the Catholic Church 300 years later. How about we study the words of God?
Amen.
Then God says, keep reading in that same verse, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in, what's the next word? Fellowship. Now, fellowship isn't partying.
Amen.
The word fellowship is the word work.
Amen.
It is camaraderie in work. It's getting involved in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I love you. For some, this may hurt. That means this. You're supposed to get involved at church, not just show up and take your 18 inches of chair.
Amen.
Or however many inches. It doesn't matter. I'm not measuring and I don't care. Wait a minute. Fellowship is come about by work. When you work together with somebody, Philippians 3:10 talks about the fellowship of his suffering. Oh. There's fellowship in suffering. Yes, there's fellowship in suffering. As you labor together through something with someone, there's a closeness that is gotten. I'll say this often in counseling. All bumps aren't bad. Sometimes it shakes off the dirt. You get a little closer because of those bumps. All problems are not bad. When you work through problems with people, you get closer with them. And that's what God's talking about here. We're to get involved in the work of the church. God knows we need some ladies to step up and help in the nursery. We got junior church. We've got, I've got plans of men helping getting cars parked and getting the parking lot duty back going here because we're starting to fill up and I'm going to have to start putting people everywhere. You say, what is that? There's things on the grounds that need done. Good night. There's plants to get planted. We got trees to bring down and do here in a couple weeks and talking to somebody about helping me with it here recently, just this morning. I got more plans than you have money or time, I promise you. I think God's given us one of the prettiest church properties in America.
Amen.
I think we ought to keep it that way, not at the expense of not reaching people.
Amen.
Everybody could show up and help pass out tracts, knock on doors, invite folks to church. We ought to get involved in the work of the church. That means show up at the activities of the church. The church picnic, the ladies' meetings, men's prayer breakfast. Well, I just don't have any friends. Then show up.
Amen.
I'll get to that in a second. It's kind of hard to feel a part of things if you're never there.
Amen.
God says continue in their doctrine and in fellowship. Number next, in breaking of bread. That's our favorite one. That means eating. That's what you call fellowship. Notice fellowship and breaking of bread are two different things. This is friendships. This is not running to your car as soon as church is over and not talking to anybody. This is not waiting for somebody to ask you to do something. You go talk to them.
Amen.
Shazam. Isn't that what Proverbs 18:24 is all about? He that hath friends must show himself friendly.
Right.
Oh. By the way, you're supposed to have more than one or two friends in life?
Amen.
Some of you want a bosom buddy and that's it. Well, I hate to tell you something, but most of you aren't going to go through life having one. Yeah, I've preached a lot of high school graduations through the years and different things. And oh, you're building friendships of a lifetime. How many people really have contact with anybody you went to high school with?
Zero.
I have one. One. Most of you don't want a fellowship with anybody from high school.
No.
Yeah, buddy. You don't want to be remembered that way. Amen. Breaking of bread, that means this, eating together. I believe Christians ought to invite one another to dinner, to your house, out to eat, doesn't matter where it is. Don't wait for somebody to invite you. How about you do the inviting? Well, preacher, I don't know if they're exactly the way I am. They're not, don't worry. God only made that mistake one time. Y'all doing okay? Y'all thought that wasn't coming out. It came out, trust me. Why do you want to wait till somebody's exactly like you? It's not going to happen. Well, preacher, I'm a little shy. Who isn't? But when you're forcing food down your face, don't worry about it. You don't have to talk as much, especially if your mouth's full. Quit complaining that somebody didn't ask you. Who did you ask?
Good.
I'm going to make a statement here that might surprise you. Many of my friends are my friends because I initiated the relationship. I'm going to use names. Dr. Jack Hiles became my friend. Can I tell you why? I initiated the relationship. I stood in the alley every Sunday and shook his hand as he went by for about a year and a half before I ever talked to the man one-on-one. I wrote him letters regularly when I was away from there working in other churches. When I went to go work for him, I still wrote him every week. And on Wednesdays, I would put a note under his door because he would travel Mondays and Tuesdays. And I'd have a note waiting for him when he got back to the church on Wednesday saying, "Preacher, I missed you. I'm glad you're back." And I initiated the relationship. My dear friend, Dr. Jeff Fugit, I initiated the friendship. I did not initiate it wanting him to respond. I just initiated it and didn't worry about the response. Too many people say, "Well, I did something and I didn't get a response." Keep doing it. God said, continue in the linear tense. Too many people want to do something to get something. How about you do something to be a blessing to somebody else?
Amen.
Dr. Russell Anderson, Same way. I initiated the friendship. Brother Jim Bossy, same way. Brother Chris Drilliard. Brother Drilliard's pastoring up in Maine. Took over Brother Rick Walters' church. Do you remember when he was here and preached at the banquet in February? Do you remember what he said when he came to church? He said, I knew he was Brother Walters' friend, but us people in Maine don't trust anybody. And he said, after 6 months of Brother Bush contacting me every day, I finally decided I might ought to trust him. 6 months. He wasn't lying either. I just knew I was more stubborn than he was. That's why this morning, about 5:45, Brother Mikey texted me and he said, Brother Bush, he said, I got a bus down. Can you pray we can get this thing going? He said, I got two brand new families that need to come to church. He said, I've already lined people up to go pick them up in cars, if nothing else. And then he said, thank you for teaching me how to do this. I'm glad I didn't wait for a response. I'm glad I continued on. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to, for a second, quit being a little selfish little baby, getting your feelings hurt all the time because others don't do what you want. You're not the center of the universe. Instead of wanting to be asked, how about you be the asker? Instead of waiting for somebody to come be close to you, how about you go be close to them? You got it all backwards. You want to play God and wait for everybody to come to you. Matter of fact, you don't even play God very well. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Even he came to look for you. So continue in doctrine, continue in fellowship, continue in breaking of bread, and continue in prayer. Learn to pray for folks.
Amen.
No, I'm not going to print all the prayer requests. I get a little tired of churches, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but good night, they have Wednesday evening prayer meetings. And you go there and spend the first half hour depressed about everybody's got sickness and disease, and they got this problem and that problem, and you go to church to get encouraged, not find out how bad it is at church.
Amen.
If there's important needs, we'll pray about them. You say, well, what are those? Come see me, I'll tell you. Sometimes I bring them from here. But you don't need to know all the details of everybody's little nuances and hurts. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
All right, hang in there. Share your needs and requests with those whom you want them to pray. If you're not close enough to have their phone number, you probably don't need them praying. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
And don't get mad at me that I didn't know you were sick because you didn't let me know.
Amen.
Let me know. When I was able to visit in hospitals, every once in a while somebody would say, well, preacher, I was in the hospital for 3 days. You never came and saw me. Well, did you call me? Well, no. Well, it's not like I call the hospitals and say, who's in your hospital today? And me try to figure out where everybody is. Y'all doing okay? Yeah. Don't go there. Don't go there. How about we let each other know we love each other and we're praying for them? If you have a need, you let me know. If you have a need, you can let somebody else know. And you don't need to let everybody know all the details. You know, when a lady tells me she's having surgery, I never say what for.
No.
My younger years, I did that a time or two and found out why you don't ask that question.
Amen.
Mm-mm. So if I don't pry, don't get worried. I figure if you want me to know, you'll let me know. I just need to know to pray. God knows what the need is long before I did. I've got to quit. I can crash land. I want Grace Baptist Church to grow as many people as we can to serve God the best we possibly can. I'm not interested in growing the church to have a growing church. I'm interested in growing people so that we have growing people closer to God. First of all, are you saved? After you've been saved, have you been baptized? Have you joined the church? If you have, let's continue in four things: doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. You want to have a growing, thriving church? You want to see Grace Baptist Church grow to new heights, to where we got to buy that 13 acres next door, build new buildings? If we'll just do it God's way, it'll work, I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, is there one here today? And we'll not embarrass you, I'll not call you by name, I'll not embarrass you, I promise. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I know for sure I'm going to heaven"? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands.